Psalm 18:19, if you would. Lord, this is all about You. Jesus, we just ask that You would be the one who gets to say what You want, and that every one of us would open up and lay down what we think we know, lay down whatever may be in the way, and Lord, just allow You to have free entrance into our heart, Your way in our lives, so that You could live Your life. You gave Your life for us. Now we want to let You live Your life through us. And we need You, because without You there is no life. We say thank You, Jesus. Psalm 18, verse 19. One time was at a meeting, and it hit me that God liked me. Now, I know none of y'all will be able to relate to what I'm getting ready to say, but all my life, everybody hasn't always liked me, you know? And it's like, and so everybody doesn't always like me, see? So I've had a lot of rejection things in my life. So one day we were at a meeting, and somebody was preaching, and he read this verse, and it hit me that God likes me. See, I knew God loved me, but I wasn't sure He liked me. Okay? And when it hit me that He delighted in me and He liked me, I wrote it right in my Bible, He likes me! And I ran all over that place. I was climbing poles. I was just running around screaming, yelling. And I guess I interrupted the service again, you know. But I couldn't help it. It was like, God likes me. And, you know, I don't always like all my customers. I choose to love them, but I don't always like my customers. There's some customers, you know what I'm talking about, having your own business. You don't always like them. But see, God likes us, and He delights in us. Thank you for reading that. Psalm 18:19. Turn to Psalm 91:14-16. Psalm 91:14-16. Say what? A picture favorite again? Yeah, I know it. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Alright. Well, let's go like this. You ready? Psalm 91:14-16. But I'm gonna read it. I'm just gonna change it just a little so that you can see who's talking to who here. Because You have set Your love upon God, there, God says, therefore will I deliver you. Because You have set Your love upon Me, therefore will I deliver you. I will set you on high because You have known My name. He says, in other words, I'll lift you up even above other people. Because You have known My name. You shall call upon Me, God says, and I will answer you. Do you hear this? God says, you're simply going to call upon Me, and I am going to answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life will I satisfy you and show you My salvation. I'm telling you. Psalm 115, verse 12. Psalm 115, verse 12. I'm just amazed at the first two phrases of this verse. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Do you hear that? His mind is full of us. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. Psalm 139:17-18. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God's thinking toward us is enormous. It says, how precious. His thoughts toward us are precious. His thoughts toward me are precious. How great, how many is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Just an exercise. Do I ever challenge you to do anything? Well, go out anywhere there's sand. I dare you. Just pick up some sand. Anywhere. One handful. And just start counting. His thoughts toward you are more than the sand of the sea, let alone the handful that you have. Do you hear that, DBJ? So you pick up a handful of sand and you start looking at it and you start counting the grains, and His thoughts toward you are more than those grains of sand in your hand. And you'll quit counting them because there's so many. You can't even, and that's how God thinks about you personally. I hope, Jesus. John 3:16. You know that's the most well-known Bible verse? And we really ought to know that. That God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever, that anyone that would believe in Him should not perish. Their life should not perish, become like, you know, wilted lettuce or whatever. Okay? But have everlasting life. It's like just constant life. John 16:27, please. John 16:27. Jesus says, "For the Father Himself loveth you, because you have loved Jesus and have believed that Jesus came out from God. For the Father Himself loveth you, because you have loved Jesus and have believed that Jesus came out from God." 1 John, go back almost to the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, precious ones, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. For God is love. It's not just that God loves. God is love. I can't even hardly get over that. Look at verse 19 in that same chapter. Yes? 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. You ought to memorize this verse. It ought to already be stamped on your heart. We love Him because He first loved us. Love always has an object. God loved us, and because of that, we love Him. God loved us, therefore we love Him. Last week we talked about, I Can't Do It was the title. So I'm going to do this as I Can't Do It Continued or something. I don't know, title it that way, whatever you want. I Can't Do It Continued. We try to live through life and we have a hard time dealing with all the things that come our way, and to live a steady life, don't we? Yes. Don't we have a hard time? If it wasn't just for people, we could do pretty good, huh? Okay, right? It's always them, you know, right? We have a hard time. If it wasn't for money, we could do just fine. If it wasn't for my feelings, we could do just fine, you know? Right? If it wasn't for kids, it's those kids. If it wasn't for the kids, we could do just fine. First three verses of Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that you may have a good life, and that you may live long. There was a little girl, a couple came here yesterday, and they were looking at my fish tank, and we came down here. They said, "What is that down there?" I said, well, it's where we have church, and they wanted to come down here. So we came down here, we're talking to the little girl. I don't remember what she said or did. Her name was Isabel. Anyway, and she did something. She was honoring her parents or something, and I said, you are going to have a long and prosperous life because you're honoring your parents. That's why we need to discipline our kids. Not because they get on our nerves, but because we're trying to help them to have a long and a prosperous life. I don't just mean prosper like you make money, but I'm talking about prospering in health, prospering in joy, prospering in peace. You see what I'm saying? And you have that as they learn to obey. And obey is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. Somebody got me off on that. Did you do that? Okay. Now, the title of the sermon is, I Can't Do It, Continued. Okay? And we have a hard time living life. We have a hard time living life. But the reason so often is because we keep experimenting how to live life. Well, I'm going to try this. Well, that didn't work. So now I'm going to try this. You know, how'd that go? I saw a bumper sticker and it said, God is my co-pilot. And I heard somebody say, if God's your co-pilot, you're sitting in the wrong seat. God bless you, Judy. I said, God's your co-pilot, so you're sitting in the wrong seat. Okay, that means you're the pilot. And the only reason that we become the pilot is because we got our hands on the steering wheel of our lives. We're making all the choices. We're saying what's right or wrong. We're saying, I want to go over here. God, would you come bless it? He's kind of like, what would you do if your kids did that? Mom, I don't want any green stuff anymore. Okay? From now on, here's our diet. You talk about a diet all the time, Mom? Here we go. Candy, cookies, ice cream, and cake. Okay? That's it, Mom. That's our diet. Now, I want you to bless it. I want you to fund it, and I want you to bless it. We have a good God, and He's the Heavenly Father. And there's things He won't allow. You see, He won't allow these things to be blessed. He allows us to do them, just like we don't chain our kids to the bed or something and make them do things. Okay? Maybe it would work, but we probably get in trouble for bruises. But, you know, I'm trying to make a point here. God allows us to do things, but He, being the perfect Father, He can't bless those things. And so we got our hands on the steering wheel and we're trying to do it. It's because we're experimenting. Do you know that this is not an experiment? Do you know that this works every time? I'm going to say it again, only because y'all probably only heard it 100 times, so I'm just going to give it to you one more time to make sure you got it, okay? One of these days, somebody's going to write a book about me so that everybody knows, you know, and y'all get it out of your system and say, hey, I've heard it enough, I could write a book. It goes like this. When I met Him, I was so amazed by the reality that Jesus Christ is a real person, and I met Him, July 1st, 1976. I met Him, and I was so amazed at the reality of His presence, having never known Him for 20 years, only hearing about Him, but when I went to church, it was cold, dead, and boring. I got nothing out of it. I did all the things they told me to do. I memorized their things. They all told me I did real good, you know, and now they confirm me and baptize me and all the things they would do. I knew about Him, but I didn't know He was real. There was no reality. And when I met Him, I was so amazed, like totally flabbergasted by the reality of His presence that I said, wow, if I miss You and You're God, what else is it that I've missed? And I said, I've tried my way. And I watch all these other people. Have you ever noticed when you look at so many people's lives, they're doing so many different things and they're all miserable? Have you noticed that? That, okay? That they're not walking around helping Or maybe if they are, if they do try to help somebody, then they walk around strutting like a peacock, like they're something. But what I'm saying is, they don't know how to live life to its fullest. They're walking around, I watch people's faces all the time, and they're like this all the time. And that face is a mirror of the heart. And it's like, I go, Lord, I want to help them. I was just talking to some people this morning. How do I help you? How do I help people, Lord, more than I'm doing? See, our way is an experiment. I think this. I think that. I'm going to try this. Have you ever eaten something that you said to somebody, man, what is the recipe for this? Have you ever said that? Well, when you have a good life, when you see the life of Jesus, I don't know how to get better than that. Why don't we find out what was the recipe for His life? What was the recipe? And then why don't we do that and we can get the same results? See, if you ask somebody their recipe and you start adding other things, it's not their recipe and it doesn't turn out the same way and it doesn't taste the same. But if you like what somebody else cooked, you know, like gluten-free tung fu or something, I forgot what it's called, and we eat it, serious, okay, right, and we, kale, I had some kale this week. Yeah, no, I didn't cook it. They did something to it and it was all juiced and I swigged it, right? It was kale was in it, right? Yeah, it was like mean green juice. Good for you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. My point is we experiment. I want to give you two sets of verses and I want to talk to you about two things in a very practical way for your life that are not an experiment. Right from here, it's not Harvey's way, it's not Harvey's idea, it's the Word of God. I just want to do whatever this says. And that has been my goal for 36 years since meeting Jesus. I just want to do whatever this says. I missed Him for the first 20 years. I hated my life. I did not like it. I looked around and so many people were miserable. I was afraid to get married. Because I looked at my own folks, I looked at other marriages, and I was afraid to get married. I saw all these miserable people. I saw kids that were disrespectful and growing up and going to jail and all of this, and it was like, I don't want what everybody else has. When I met Jesus, I said, you know what? I just want more of Him. And if He's God, then He has a way to live that He created us for. How do I find that? I found Him by reading this. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read this and try to do whatever this says. And whatever I think that is contrary to this, or whatever I think, I'm willing to lay it down to get this. Does that work? So, I'm going to give you two things that we talked about last week. We talked about, you know, I said, do you ever feel burdened or pressured? Do you ever feel guilty? You know, do you ever feel like you've disappointed God or somebody else? Okay, or you're disappointed in your own self? You ever felt that? Well, there's two things that we're going to talk about every day, practical things of how to help you with your life, okay, in those areas. First, we're going to start with John chapter 19 and verse 30. John 19 and verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. You're going, what are we talking about here? What I want you to see in this is one of the things, are you able to live in forgiveness and freedom? That's the main point here. Are you able to live in forgiveness and freedom? If you find yourself feeling guilty, feeling ashamed. You're afraid to talk to God. You see, we started off by letting you know that you were unconditionally loved and accepted for who you are. Those are verses we started with. God loves you for who you are. God loves you for who you are. But how do we live every day? Because we say God loves me, but then when we mess up, what do? How do we deal with that? Because we have all through the day, somebody pulls in front of me when I'm driving. Do you ever... I see some of y'all's faces. I already know what you do, okay? I already know what you're feeling because I've gone through that so much. I always say, well, I don't always say, but I've said many times, Lord, I let them drive on my road, you know? Why can't they get in the other lane? Or I pull up behind somebody and I'm wanting to pass, and somebody is in the passing lane going slow. And I'm like, I want a big sign on the front of my car, do you, you know, so they can read it in the rear view. Do you know this is a passing lane? You know? Passing lane. Clue? You know? Something. We all, every day, we have to deal with things. Our kids don't do what we want them to do. Our mate doesn't do what we want him to do. Our body doesn't do what we want it to do. Now, how do we deal with that? We start feeling guilty. We know we did wrong. How do we deal with that? John 19:30. It says, When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Let me just do this with you, okay? Jesus on the cross, why did he die? To pay for sin. Did he die to pay for your sin? How many of them? Well, wait a minute. You mean all of them up until you got saved, right? Well, how many? What do you mean by all? Past, present, and future? Like all of them? And then he said, he took all of our sin, past, present, future, and it killed him, didn't it? Because sin kills. And so he died. He took our sin, past, present, future, and then God had him buried. He took all the sin and said, now, let's put it under the ground. It's gone. It's out of sight. It's gone. And then 3 days later, the Father, when Jesus stood before him and said, is my death enough for Tana? Is my death enough for Joy? Is my death enough for Harvey? And the Father reached over and picked his body up from the grave and said, paid in full, right? Hallelujah! So then Jesus... When Jesus was dying, he knew this whole transaction was going on. Think about it like at a bank. It's a transaction. Once I go there, I put money in the bank. They give me a deposit slip, you know. I fill it out. I put the money in. They give me back a deposit slip. It is finished, right? Because it's now deposited. I have money in that bank. And I have proof of that, right? Are you with me? Jesus died for us. And as he's dying, one of the last three words he said was, it is finished. I'm taking care of all of your sin. But do you live in such a way that it is finished? Because if you're living in guilt and burden and pressure and being ashamed, then you're not living in the truth that it is finished, that it's taken care of with God. You're still feeling guilty about it. Watch this. Let's keep reading. Okay? Except we're going to go to other verses. Okay, are you ready? John chapter 10 and verses 11 and 18. John chapter 10, verses 11 and 18. I'm trying to help you with everyday life. That is my whole purpose here, is to get you to Jesus That's my whole focus, is for Jesus to live in you. And in order for that to happen, you have to know how to deal with sin. Do you know how to bring your sin to God through the blood of Jesus? Do you know how to live in victory and forgiveness and freedom? That's what we're talking about. John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Are you one of his sheep? He gave his life for you, did he not? And Father said, it is finished. It's paid for. Look at verse 18. Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He said, no man takes my life. I am giving my life. I'm laying it down for you. Jesus laid down his life for our sin, right? Yes? And then Father said, it is finished. It's done. It's paid for. So when you bring it back to him, as you're going through your everyday life, and when you sin, what we need to do, when I sin, what I need to do is I need to bring it to God immediately. God, I just got mad at this other driver. God, I just said words. God, I just was mad at Sue. God, I have a bad attitude toward Jacob. God, I want to hit Nate. Whatever it is, we need to admit it. God, this is true. I was just confessing for Leida. Say that to Leida and you won't walk out of here. Okay? Now, oh, I'm sorry. Did he say that? And when I sin, I immediately bring it to God because, see, I wasn't designed to carry it. Do you understand? See, I can't do it. I can't deal with my sin. If I don't confess it, hear what I'm saying, please. Just this little couple sentences here, okay? When I sin, when any person sins, but let's use me, when I sin, which is every day, I have told you, I am not the good example of Christ. I want to be like Jesus, but I'm the good example of the rotten sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. You see, if I try to be a good Christian, and I try to just say, I don't deal with things the way God wants them dealt with, and I'm trying to just live the Christian life, I fail. Because I can't live the Christian life without Jesus. See, Christ has to live it for me. Just like I couldn't deal with my sin, Christ had to come and take care of it for me. I can't get to heaven without Jesus. He has to come and do it for me. Do you understand? Now watch this. So I sin. As soon as I sin, it's like, I know it. I don't need you to give me the look. I already know I sin. I don't need you to give me the words. You know, the sideways remarks. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Don't spit your coffee, Roxanne. Just because I was talking about Glenn. Here we go. When I sin, I know it immediately because I've broken fellowship with God. I have sinned against Him. It's like I've slapped Him in the face. Now, my joy is gone. Ooh. My peace is gone. I got a burden on my heart. I'm not designed to carry that. There's nothing. Is there anything else I could do but take it to Jesus that is going to take care of it? I mean, is there any other way to deal with it that works? I'm asking. So I sin. What do? Immediately, I've got pain. I've got, you know, my joy, my peace is gone. What do? Immediately, I admit it. God, I sinned. I'm bringing this under the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I'm sorry that I sinned. Is anybody getting this? Would this help you on your everyday life? Could you imagine living in peace? I mean, living in peace, living in joy, living in freedom, living in victory. Do you need more of those things?
Yeah.
I'm pleased to hear this because I'm giving it to you. This is a very practical, will help you with your everyday life. You see, you may know these things. Some of these things I'm talking about, you're going, yeah, I know this. But you're not practicing it. I'm not picking on somebody. I'm not mad at somebody. I'm saying, when you say, I'm not living in victory. I'm not living in peace. I'm not living in joy. I do feel burdened. I do feel pressured. I do feel guilt. I do feel shame. It's because the devil has tricked you. And you did wrong, Joy. I know!
Do you have a camera in my house?
I know! I'll never be any... And immediately we become self-focused. I'll never be any better. I'll never change. I might as well give up. I might as well go drink. How do I know? Because I did the same thing. How do we live? We don't. We live in defeat. We live in guilt. So watch this. It's so simple. You mess up. You sin. You hurt somebody. You become stuck. As soon as you're aware of it, immediately bring it under the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I did this. And you died for me. You died for this sin. Jesus, I'm so sorry that I caused your pain. I'm so sorry that I hurt you. I thank you so much for loving me, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me, Jesus. And don't start making him promises. I promise I'll never do it again. You are lying. You can't, look, if you could do it, you don't need Jesus. You just tell him, Jesus, I don't want to do this. I don't even know why I did it. But Jesus, I want you to come and change my heart. I want you to come and find the root, the seed of how this even got in me in the first place. The whole root system in my life of why I keep going back to this over and over and over again. Jesus, would you come and unearth that root system. Remove the dirt so I can clearly see and I can bring it to you. Now, Jesus, I'm asking you, here's the root. Oh, I see the seed of how it got in me in the first place. Jesus, would you please remove the seed? Jesus, would you please grab that root system because it's throughout my whole life. And would you just pull that whole root system out of me? Thank you, Jesus. Now that big cavity, would you come fill it with your blood so that I could be forgiven? Thank you, Jesus. Now will you fill it with your blood so that I can be cleansed or I can live a whole new way and you can get it completely out of me because I only want Jesus to live in me. So please remove this root system. I went to watch a movie yesterday. And I turned it on, and it was a newer, like a 70s movie. I'm sorry. I watch all black and white, you know what I mean? So this one was color, and it was like 71 or something. And I thought, well, it's a secret agent type movie. And I thought, oh, this will be cool. I didn't even have the sound going. But it just was nudity. It was like, I mean, it was like just some nudity showed up and I went, what? No, that can't be. And I was fast forwarding to see if I could watch this movie. And some guy's sitting in a hot thing with sauna, whatever you call that. And this other guy comes over and he says, it's too hot in here. He goes, why don't you take your clothes off? Quit being so British. And I'm like, dude, You know? So I just said, forget it. I can't even watch this. So I erased it, right? I didn't watch it. But as soon as I did that, it was like God said to me, Harvey, just by fast-forwarding through it, there was things you let into you that will affect you. He said, you need to do this process that you're going to talk to them about tomorrow. So I said, God, please forgive me that I even watched this movie. I shouldn't have watched it. I've allowed things in my eye gate that goes into my heart. So God, now what I'm asking you to do, please remove the seed. And the seed is me opening up myself to that movie. God, please remove the seed. Am I giving you something practical that will help you? Please remove the seed. And now the root system that would come from that, where I will start looking at women different, you know what I mean, as objects or something. Do you follow me? Please remove that. Now, please pour in your blood of forgiveness, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and then to cleanse us or to completely remove and make me clean in the sight of God. Do you understand? And now I can live free. I don't have the guilt and have to keep going, oh, I don't want to think about that. Do you understand? Because I asked Jesus to come do it for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? How would that apply in your life? Turn over to, I think it's Exodus chapter 20, and it's about, I'm going to say verse 6, but I'm not sure it's verse 6, but we'll find it when we get there, okay? Exodus chapter 20. Do you know what Exodus chapter 20 is? It's the Ten Commandments, right? Okay. And the first four commandments deals with our relationship with God. And the last six deals with our relationship with man. Did you know that? So here we go. Exodus chapter 20. And let's get down to, let's see, where is it? Hang on a second. I'm just looking. Verse 5. He says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. That's talking about graven images or idols. Anything but God. What is it you're worshiping? See, everybody worships something. A lot of people just worship themselves. Okay? But everybody worships something. Some people worship music groups. Some people worship actors or actresses. Some people worship whatever. But look at verse 5. He says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now watch this, Roxanne. Visiting the iniquity of the mothers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You, practical, can go to God and say, God, this is the sin of my mother, but I don't have... See, you don't have to be like your mom. But what happens is when parents, whatever sin that we have in our lives, we give license to that sin. We kind of like fan the flame of that sin into our children. And then we repeat it over and over as how we live. And it becomes embedded in the spirit of the child. How many of you, because every one of you would tell me that when you were growing up, you said, when I move out, I'm not going to do such and such that my mom does or my dad does. I'm not going to do that. And then when you moved out, what did you do? Exactly the same thing. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, oh no, I'm doomed for life. Thanks for pointing that out, Brother Harvey. Now I know I'm doomed for life. I have to be like this the rest of my life. I'll never get victory. Oh, Jesus got it from the dead, but he can't handle this sin. Oh, you ready? So how do we do it? You want a practical way of how to do it? Okay? Because this is what I had to do. This is what God showed me some things in my life. God, this is the sin of my mother. This is her sin nature. This is choices that she made. Maybe she was exampled this by your grandmother. I don't know. Okay? Now, God, what I want to do is draw a line in the sand and the buck stops here. I'm confessing that it's sin. I'm asking you to forgive my mom. I want you to deliver my mom. I want you to begin to reveal it to my mom because she's still living that. And she has no friends. I mean, just be honest. God already knows. Just get honest. Okay? First, I want you to forgive her. Now, God, I'm drawing a line in the sand with the blood of Jesus. That sin can come no more. It's in me. But now I'm bringing it under the blood. It's forgiven. I don't want that living in me anymore. God, I own it as my sin. I'm not blaming it on my mom. It may have started with my mom, but I still had a choice. Do you understand? I still had a choice. And I made a choice. So God, I'm owning it as my sin, and I'm asking you to forgive me for making this choice, for causing your death because of this sin. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Now, what do you think he does? Well, I'm not sure, Roxanne. You haven't done enough good works yet. Is that what he does? Does he just forgive? Yes. When you bring it God's way. And the way to bring it God's way is under the blood of Jesus. You see, God doesn't just forgive us because we say, I'm sorry. He says, yep, I understand you're sorry, but every sin has to be paid for. Now, do you want it paid for? Because the only way to do that is through the blood of Jesus. It's not through you trying to be better. It's not through you crying. It's not through you making promises. And it's not through you saying, I'm sorry. Have your kids ever said, I'm sorry, but you know their heart wasn't really sorry? But they said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you caught me, Mommy. I'm sorry I didn't get away with it, Mommy. I'm sorry I'm going to get in trouble, Mommy. But I'm sorry for you because I still want to do it. So God, I'm asking you to forgive me. And now I want you to cleanse me. I want you to come and find the seed. I want you to come and find the root system that's come from that seed and how it's living in my life and colored my whole life. And how I even have an outlook on people that's completely outside of the Word of God and the heart of God. So I'm asking you to come and search me and find that. Bring it, keep bringing it up to the surface. It's been happening all week. Bring it to the surface, God, so that I can see it the way you do, think about it the way you do, feel about it the way you do. Grant me true, deep, full repentance. Because I don't want this in me. I only want Jesus living in me. And you can't have Jesus and sin. I don't want this living in me. But I can't change. And he says, I know, but I can change you. He says, but you've got to go through my process. And it first starts with you admitting that it's your sin. Even if somebody, a man rapes a woman, she wants to kill him or lash out or whatever, okay? Yes, he did wrong, and God's going to deal with him. But now, how did she respond? Murder? Hate? You know, revenge? Now she's guilty. And she actually, a lot of times, becomes more guilty. Because now she wants to murder, and then she even asks God, God, you kill him for me. You know? God, I want you to enter into murder. Do you understand? So you bring it under the blood. You thank him for his death. You let him know, I'm sorry that your death was because of this sin. Not just sin in general. He had to die for each specific sin. So when you sin, God, I'm sorry that this sin caused your death, caused your beating, caused that crown of thorns. Your death caused separation between you and the eternal Father. Fellowship. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because of my sin. Jesus, you must really love me. And then you start entering into this deeper love with Him and deeper fellowship with Him where you don't want to sin because you love him so much and he loves you so much. And it's like you're so thankful for him. And you thank him that he died for you. Do you understand? You see, it is finished in the mind of God. Our sin was taken care of. But it's not finished in our minds because we repeat it every day. So we have to come back to a place, and you can do that moment by moment. As soon as you sin, immediately confess it to God. God, this is in me, and I'm sorry. I don't want it. Jesus, I bring myself under your blood, and I thank you. Your blood is there to make it possible for me to not only be forgiven, but to be clean and to have right relationship with God. And God's like, he just starts smiling because there's nothing between you two. You get it? Do you understand? So God, now I invite you to come and remove this whole root system. See, you discovered the seed. God, I confess the seed, ask you to remove it. Now I want you to come and cleanse me from the root system. Pull it out. Now pour in your blood in place, because it's the life of Jesus. It's forgiveness and then cleansing, but it's his life comes to fill that void in you. And you start living him in that area, but it's him living, not you trying to do better. It's him changing you from the inside out. Instead of you trying to change from the outside. I can't quit. I can't this. I can't that. Of course you can't. If you could do it, you wouldn't need Jesus. I can't do it. You see, it's called the Christian walk, not the Christian arrival. We don't ever, it's not like we ever get there. But it's like we're a whole lot further along. We're walking at higher levels. I don't sin like I used to sin. I still sin. But it's not like I sin like I used to. Sin doesn't keep me down like it used to. I've learned this secret that I'm talking to you about, and it's so simple. Just bring it under the blood of Jesus. It's forgiven. And then he says, it's finished. I used to live by lists of trying to structure my life, and I was living by formula and not living by spirit. And it was real rigid and harsh, and that's what I did to other people, was rigid and harsh to other people because I had this structure of how to live and thought, I have to do this to get everything done. And I had to come to a place of realizing I can't do it. And I was hurting people. I could be right. There was another revelation that helped me a lot, was relationship is more important than being right. There's times I'm right. Not that I'm right. I'm in agreement with truth that the other person is not in agreement with. But they're not at a place where they can hear it. They're not at a place, it's not the right time to talk about it. And they need more time to adjust where they're at. I need to love them right where they're at. Does that make sense? We're talking about how to live in forgiveness, freedom, peace, joy, in a very practical way. I want you to realize something. There's a verse in Psalms, and it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And years ago, that word perfect means to mature, to grow, to complete. So the Lord will complete me. The Lord will mature me. The Lord will grow me where I need it. Years ago when I read that, somehow it got quickened to me, and a prayer that I pray all the time is, Lord, please correct and perfect that which concerns me. I am very aware of my inability to do it. I just told him again this morning. I told him yesterday. I tell him often. Lord, you called us to shepherd this work. I don't know how. You called us to train shepherds. I don't know how. You called me to do a lot of things, and I don't know how to do it. And I mess up. I don't do everything right. I'm sorry. I hope you pray for me. See, if you just talk about me, it doesn't help. But if you're praying for me, because God's going to change me. Because that's what you want me to do with you, right? When I see the faults and the errors and I see those things, you want me to pray for you, right? To love you just like you are. To give you grace and time to grow from where you are, realizing nobody's going to get it. You can't just snatch them up where they, you know, and they're going to get it. I don't ever want you to forget that you were unconditionally loved and accepted for who you are and not what you do. When the devil tries to beat you up, you just, all you got to do, as soon as you find yourself being down on yourself or feeling that, you know, on you, immediately turn to God. God, I bring myself under your blood and under your authority. I don't even know what's wrong, but I'm asking you to fix it. I'm asking you to be my Savior, my Deliverer, my Fixer. I need you to change my heart. I need you to come live this Christian life in me, because I can't do it. I need your forgiveness. And then thank Him for all of those things. Thank you that you loved me before I even knew about you. He died for us 2,000 years ago, right? 2,100 years ago, whatever it is. I don't know. What year is it? Whatever. 2,000 years ago, something like that. Okay? What I'm asking is, everything we did was 2,000 years after He was died. And He knew all of it was going to happen, and He took it all upon Him. He loved us before we knew Him and before we cared about Him. Some of us didn't even meet Him till we were in our 20s or 30s or 50s. And that whole time, He loved us. And that whole time, He cared about us. And He doesn't ever give up on you. Don't you give up on you. Okay? Don't give up on each other. Let's pray for one another. Let's, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said. If you have love toward one another, let's lift one another up. Let's encourage one another. Let's pray for one another. Let's believe in one another. And when we see the faults, let's pray for them. Let's love them. If God wants you to confront a person, go and do that. But don't go confront them until you've prayed. And I don't mean, okay, God, I'm mad at Patty, or I see this sin in Patty, so here, God, He said to pray. I'm praying. Now let me tell you what I think. You pray as if you couldn't talk. You pray as if you were never going to get the chance to talk to her. I told you about that church we went to. Preacher said we're going to take up an offering for Brother Harvey and help support his ministry. When the service was done, they didn't give me any money. And finally, they all scattered, and I was standing around feeling, it feels really weird to wait on somebody to give you a check. You know what I mean? It just feels really weird, especially when you're doing ministry. I don't know how to explain that. Anyway, finally, somebody was walking through, and I said, I was told to wait here, and, you know, oh, yeah, preacher. And so he went and got the preacher. And the preacher said, we'll send you a check in the mail. They never did. So we went to start a church 1,800 miles away. And we didn't know where our next meal was coming from for 14 months. That's how we lived. And so we spent 2 or 3 hours a day on our knees. That was just every day you spent at least that much time, because that was how we had to live. Because we didn't have a backup plan. We didn't have any welfare or whatever. We didn't have anything. We had nothing. And we didn't know anybody. And all the people in our town, what did we call that? The nickel offering? Sue called it the nickel offering. When we had an offering plate, even when people gave, they put in a nickel. I mean, our people were so poor, you can't even imagine. So we had to have miracles because it was the only way for things for us to get supported. Well, I was praying and that preacher came to my mind. I said, God, he said they were going to give us a check, and I never got it. So after stewing about that for a while, thinking all kinds of things about this preacher, asked God to forgive me for thinking things about this preacher, finally I just laid it all down and said, God, it's not between me and him. It's between you and me. I'm giving him to you. Now you deal with him, whatever. He's your servant. But I want everything to be right between you and me. So I choose to forgive him, bless him, whatever. See, I couldn't do anything about it. I was 1,800 miles away. When you go to pray for, when you see fault in somebody, pray for them. If God wants you to confront, we can talk about that another time, but God will make it clear to you that you need to confront. But you need to pray for them. Lift them up. Forgive them. Ask God to work in their life. Because we want to see effectual change in people's lives, right? That's how. Pray for our enemies. Right. I think that's in Matthew 6. And he talks about that. I like what Jesus says there in that passage. It's cool. He says, the law says, or you say, he says, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for them that curse you and abuse you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Love them right where they're at. And see, we can't do that without God. We need God to fill us up. When we sin, I want you to live in freedom. I want you to live in peace. This week, let's practice. Every time we find that we've sinned, we've done something wrong, we've hurt another person, even when we think we're right and they're wrong, even if they're wrong, it doesn't justify, it doesn't float with God for us to hurt them. It's not like God says, it's okay because they were wrong. So it's okay that you hit them. It's okay that you screamed at them. It's okay. You don't have peace. I mean, if you can get peace with that, go ahead and try living that way. But when you find it doesn't work, to get your peace with God, immediately confess it. God, here's where I was wrong. Bring it under the blood of Jesus. Thank Him. Ask His forgiveness, and then thank Him for His forgiveness. And tell Him how much you love Him and appreciate that He made it possible for you to have your sin be forgiven. And you will immediately have fellowship restored with you and God, and everything will be sweet and peaceful, and you'll have joy, and you'll find freedom. Practice that. Let's practice that this week. What do you think? Think it'll work? Jesus, I love you.